Hey guys, I'm Sandy.
And I'm Christy.
And we're a little bit dead. Yep. Yeah. So I got the wildest text message from you the other day. That was the most unexpected thing. Like, I didn't even finish reading the text message. I just immediately called you and was like, oh my God.
My heart was pounding so hard. And have you ever been in, like, a situation where you just feel like you don't have control of your body? Like, I was shaking, and it was like my whole body was just trembling. Oh my God, like, unexpected.
Yes.
Unexpected. I have mixed emotions, and I think that I need to unpack them tonight.
Yes. I'm here for your unpacking. We'll just skip our usual banter and go into the issue at hand.
Christy is usually trying to be all sunny and chipper even whenever there's hard stuff going on. This week, it's the week started off. My world was rocked.
Yeah. We've talked about this before on the podcast.
I believe that I've shared on here about my friend Sharon that had died in 1997.
Yes.
I'm just gonna kind of give a little backstory, and then I'll lead up to what happened. I knew her in high school. She went to school in Pittsburgh, Texas, and then she transferred to Dangerfield, Texas. Whenever I was in high school, I was a freshman and she would have been a junior.
Mm-hmm.
She was 2 years older than me. We had similar friends in common, and we were friendly to each other. I mean, you know, hey, how are you doing kind of things. We weren't close friends. Like, we didn't know each other like that, but we were friendly.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I got married super young, moved away. Jerry and I moved back. Now, we did not come back to our small town. We moved to Mount Pleasant, Texas, which I'm sure to most of the world would still be considered a small town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But compared to Hugh Springs, where we live now, it's a much bigger small town.
Yeah, it's a big small town.
Right.
Yeah.
But we lived there because when my husband first got out of the Army, my parents had bought a house in Mount Pleasant because they were both working out of Mount Pleasant, and so they were living there. And so we at first stayed with my parents there in Mount Pleasant, and then we ended up in our own home there, and we just kind of settled there for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So that was in 89, and sometime maybe around 1992 or 93. I want to say it was 92. It had to have been 92. I had took a job working at McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to college at the time, and so I needed a job that kind of would work around my college hours. I did not have my youngest daughter yet. I just had my oldest daughter. But so as I was working there, one day, this other little short blonde girl showed up.
Mm-hmm.
And I recognized her. All 4'10" of her.
Yeah.
She was tiny. Y'all, I was tall compared to her. And that never happens. I don't even know why, but it's almost like we both kind of had a chip on our shoulder. Because, like, wait a minute, I'm the short little blonde girl here, you know, not you. I was here first, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't even remember, like, what we even fussed about. It wasn't very long. Like, we just kind of, like, we rubbed each other the wrong way, which was weird because we were friendly in high school.
And so did she work there at the McDonald's?
She did.
Okay.
She showed up, and they had hired her, and it was just really, like, uncomfortable around each other at first, just because I don't know why. We just, you know how young people are. You just decide you don't like somebody for some stupid reason.
Yeah.
And I remember we were at work. I don't remember exactly what we were mad about that we kind of started getting down each other's throats. Like, we were going to, you know, we were being all scrappy. Probably looked like two chihuahuas trying to fight each other.
Oh, Lord.
And I don't know who it was. I don't remember. One of us laughed and the other one started laughing. And then that was it. It was history. We were like inseparable after that. We were just best friends. She and I, like, you know, like, most of the time when you think about relationships with soulmates, it's usually like on a romantic kind of level.
Yeah.
But if there's such a thing as a best friend being a soulmate, that was her for me.
Yeah.
We weren't even yin and yang. We were yin and yin or yang and yang or something. We were so alike that it was easy in a lot of ways. Not in all ways, but in a lot of ways. Both of us had children young. Now, she was not near as young as I was when she had her daughter, but she was, I want to say she was like 18 when she had had her daughter. And as the years go by, I mean, we just got closer and closer. And my husband, like, he and Sharon were like brother and sister. They would, you know, pick at each other and all that, but they would throw down for each other if they needed to, you know. I loved her daughter. She loved mine. Till this day, my kids still call her Aunt Sharon.
Oh, that's so sweet.
I want to say it was, I'm having a hard time because so much time has gone by, and I've been racking my brain for the last 2 days trying to put timelines to things because, you know, whenever you have tragedy, a lot of times you put things to the back burner of your mind so that you can cope to day to day, you know? I want to say it was around 94, and I could be mistaken, it could have been 95. My daughter Sadie was born in 94, and that's why I'm thinking it was then, because she was staying with us when Sadie was a baby. She had met this man, and they started seeing each other, and it was not long until she started showing up at my house black and blue.
Oh, no.
I mean, he would beat the holy hell out of her. I can't even tell you exactly how many times it was. I don't remember. I just know that every time she showed up, I called the sheriff's department every time.
Yeah.
They were not married yet. And, I mean, she would come to the door. I would answer my door, and there's somebody standing there that their eyes are swollen shut and their face is distorted because of, you know, you bruise somebody bad enough, it distorts their skin because of inflammation and stuff.
Yeah, the swelling.
She looked like she had been in a boxing match. And once again, did I mention she was only 4'10"?
Yeah, she was tiny.
And she was very slim. She was a little, little woman.
Yeah.
I've never been in a domestic violence situation personally myself. I never knew how to handle something like that. That's not something I had any personal knowledge of, but it broke my heart. But I would call the sheriff's department every time. They would show up at my house. They would take a report. And every time they would give her the option of whether she wanted to press charges. And she would always check the little box that said refuses to press charges every time. She'd sign it. They would hand her a little pink copy. And I would snatch that pink copy out of her hand.
Yeah.
I kept them.
Yeah.
I mean, one day she even asked me, why are you keeping these papers? And I said, because you're gonna show up dead one day. And I want to be able to show the police exactly which direction to look. Because he's going to kill you.
Yeah.
I never could understand. And listen, I remember talking about this when we were talking about the movie It Ends With Us. Because that's what that book was about. And by the way, the book is so much better than the movie as far as kind of helping you get into the mind of the person who's being abused and what they're thinking, what their logic is like. It's still... that did help to a point... but it's still hard to understand. why somebody that is treated so horribly would feel the need to keep returning over and over.
I have been, not my husband, like, we've had our ups and downs, but he's never been abusive. But I have been in abusive relationships, and abusive people are so manipulative.
Yeah.
And they make you think that it is your fault. They convince you that I beat the shit out of you because you pissed me off and it's your fault.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, and so she always said that it was her fault.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I can get into that. I've been in that mindset before of, man, I'm a problem. And if I'm
worthless. That's all I can think of. Is just like, she had to have felt completely worthless. She did not know her value. She was gorgeous. I mean, she was beautiful.
I saw the pictures you posted on Facebook.
You got to remember, in those pictures, this was back in the 80s and 90s when those pictures were taken.
Yeah.
So, of course, we had crazy hair. She used to, I used to tease her that if she bleached her hair one more time, it was going to be clear. Because she put straight bleach on her hair. She did her own. God. She did not use toner. I mean, it was rough. That's what she did. But I mean, that's what people. I had yellow hair too. Nobody told me my hair was yellow. I look back on pictures and I'm like, oh my God, why did somebody not tell me I needed some toner?
Well, toner was not a thing back then. No. Everybody had yellow hair.
Oh, it was awful. But she was absolutely beautiful. And I can say this because I am a very, very short person. You know, at 5 foot tall, I can smell food and gain 5 pounds. It has always been that way in my life. And, you know, and some people, like, their body just looks, like it's not proportional.
Mm-hmm.
But she looked perfectly proportional. Just absolutely perfectly proportional. Had a beautiful figure. She was beautiful. She had a natural arch to her eyebrows that would make you want to smack her so bad, you know?
Yeah, that always makes me jealous of people that have perfect arch.
Her eyebrows were perfect. And those eyebrows, like, she passed that down to her son, by the way. But anyway, as the story goes along, she eventually did marry him. I think that it was after she was pregnant with her son. I did not get invited to the wedding, by the way, because at this point, hell no, I didn't like this guy.
Yeah.
No, I did not approve. She had no business with him. Like, she, every time she would show up broken and bruised, she would move in with me. She lived with us. And I say every time. I know it was not every time, because I know that she did go to her dad sometimes. And maybe sometimes she didn't want her dad to know that it was still happening. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
But she came and stayed with us so many times. I mean, at this point, my kids are seeing this.
Yeah.
You know, I had my youngest daughter, and she lived with us a lot of Sadie's baby time.
Like, yeah.
I remember her telling me to go back to bed whenever Sadie would wake up for the night feedings.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I got this, go back to bed. She loved my children.
That's
I mean,
so sweet.
She literally, I'm telling you.
She was a good friend.
Who does that? Takes over nighttime feedings with a little baby. But she did, you know. Just a wonderful person. But anyway, she got married to this guy. No, you know what? Let me backtrack. Right before they got married, and this, I want to say this was right before she got pregnant with her son. I have to make sure that I interject the word alleged in here, because I'm going to go ahead and say this man never spent a single day in jail for the crimes that he committed against her.
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah, throw that word allegedly in there just, you know, sporadically so we don't get sued.
Ugh. So, I woke up one morning, I want to say it was a Sunday morning, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a knock on my door, and there was a man at my door, a stranger. And he had her. She was wearing, it's like coveralls that a mechanic would wear.
Mm-hmm.
But they were like paper. like paper.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's all.
Oh.
And the man was driving a tow truck, and he said, I found her literally on the side of the highway.
Oh, my God.
And he brought her to me. Now, I will tell you this. For our listeners, unless you're from this area, you won't understand the names of the towns that I'm about to say, but there's a little distance in between these little towns, okay?
Yeah.
From what Sharon told me, this was not something that I witnessed personally, okay? None of this was stuff I witnessed personally. This is what I was told by her that happened. That they had went to Shreveport to the casinos.
So we're about, what, an hour and a half from Shreveport?
Yes.
Okay.
So, and I lived in Mount Pleasant, too, by the way.
Which is...
So it was...
About 20 minutes from where we're at, so a couple hours drive.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So she was in Shreveport, and he would not quit gambling. He was drunk, and she was ready to go, and so she went outside. And when he finally came out, they get in the car. He's literally driving intoxicated, by the way. And he was somewhere between Marshall and Jefferson, Texas. He pulled over on the side of the highway and jerked her out of the car. He beat her and choked her. These are her words.
Yeah.
And she was left unconscious in a ditch. Naked.
Dear God.
I've personally always believed the reason why he drove off and left her was because he believed that he did kill her. She had, she had, and I did take pictures of this. I don't even know where those pictures are at this point, and I need to do some digging because
I would try and find those.
That she, you could see the marks on her throat where his hands were choking her.
That's crazy.
She had blood vessels burst in her eyes.
Yeah.
Where her oxygen had been cut off. Mm-hmm. And this random tow truck driver happened to see her walking naked down the highway, picked her up, gave her some paper coveralls to put on, and he drove from in between Marshall and Jefferson to Mount Pleasant, Texas, and brought her to my house.
Marshall and Jefferson is about, what, 45 minutes from here?
Yeah.
And then another 20 minutes to Mount Pleasant. So, yeah, that's...
I mean, and this guy made no money off of that.
Yeah, that was a kind person.
Yes.
And there's...
You know what could have happened to her?
Oh, that could have turned out...
It was already bad enough. It was already bad enough.
It was already bad.
But I've always believed in my heart that his reason for leaving was because he thought she already was dead.
Oh, for sure.
So, she moved back in with me. A lot of the times that these things happened, her daughter was not there. Her daughter had a dad that lived in Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
And I really have always believed that a lot of these things happened either when she was visiting her dad, or she may have been at her grandmother's or her grandpa's, something.
Yeah.
But a lot of the time she was not there when some of these things took place, but she ended up moving back in with me at that time. She was working and she was trying to get on her feet, and the next thing I know, she moves back in with him.
Mm-mm.
And the daughter comes home, and they were living in Cookeville at this time.
Which is about, what, 15 minutes outside of Mount Pleasant?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, maybe 10, yeah.
Yeah, just right outside.
So,
yeah.
Right after that was when I found out that they were pregnant. I don't remember exactly how much time passed. I'm just being honest with you.
Yeah,
but
well, it's been...
she was pregnant, and they ended up getting married. I was not invited to the wedding, but, you know, and when I said that we got along really well, that we were a lot in common, he was always the sour point in our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
That was the only sour point in our relationship.
Yeah, I can
and
too.
And my husband loved her and wanted to help her. My kids loved her and they wanted her to stay with us. But I mean, as a grown adult that has a kid of her own, I understand her not wanting to impose on us or whatever.
Yeah.
But she didn't have to go back to that.
Mm-mm.
So as time goes by.
Well, also, back then, there was not the resources that are available today. And so I think that's also a thing.
In our area, I don't think that there were at all. I know maybe in the cities.
Like maybe some other places there might have been resources, but like
not in the small towns like
small
this.
Town East Texas, there was nothing here for, I mean.
There was a lot of people that, well, I don't want to mix up the stories, so I'm trying to stay on a timeline here because this can get really confusing to listeners.
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't know how many beatings took place. I don't remember him beating her when she was pregnant, but I don't know about all of them. I've spoken recently with her daughter a few times, and she shared some things with me that she witnessed. So it did take place. It did take place on times that she did not come to my house.
Yeah.
Those times may not have been quite as bad, but it did happen in front of her daughter.
Bless
but
it.
She did tell me that he never hurt her.
Yeah.
The daughter. She said that he for the most part pretty much ignored her. She was not abused in any way by him, but emotionally and mentally.
Oh, for sure.
Because of what was happening to her mother. That is abuse, by the way.
Oh, that is absolutely abuse.
He just did not physically or sexually abuse her at all.
Yeah.
They ended up moving after, I want to say maybe it was right before her son was born. It just kept happening.
Yeah.
It just kept happening. And I'm going to just, like, fast forward just a little bit. I wasn't sure until recently where the children were at on some of this, and I did find out, and I'm not going to say names, but there was a friend that the babies ended up staying with off and on also, and I found out about this just yesterday. It's amazing the conversations that have opened up because of making Facebook posts.
Yeah, so all this whole situation that we're talking about, Christy, by chance, saw a Facebook post.
Yeah. Okay, I'll get to
so
that.
So we're going to get to that in a little bit, but this is what is the precursor to all of this. So.
Okay, so there was a situation where she came to the house. She was beaten again. Maybe not as bad as many bruises, but she definitely was bruised up. And she was upset because he had fired a gun at her. Am
Jesus
I allowed to
Christ.
Say the G-U-N word on here?
This is our podcast, and we can say whatever words we want. I think it's only TikTok where you have to be careful.
Okay, well, she told me her words. So do I have to say allegedly on that? Listen, I'm just saying, I did not witness this. I was told by her that he fired a gun at her and missed.
Yeah.
So, I mean, my husband was irate. I mean, and I was devastated because my husband grabbed one of our guns and left the house.
Oh, shit.
We didn't have cell phones back then.
Yeah, no, that was not a thing.
No, this was like mid-90s.
Yeah.
So, I mean, some people had those brick phones.
Oh, do you remember
the bag phones?
The bag phones?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, we didn't have that. We were poor. You know, we were just trying to get on our feet after he had just left the military and all that. So, anyway, he finally came back home and he said, I mean, he went over there with every intention of, I don't know if he was going to threaten him or if he was going to try to shoot him. I don't know what he was going to do. But he was just so angry about what had been happening to Sharon.
Yeah.
That he said that he was calling him names, the P-U-S-S-Y name. And he was saying that he wouldn't answer the door.
Mm.
I mean, he likes to beat on women, but he won't come face-to-face with a man.
Yeah.
People
that beat women are the lowest of the low. and they can't take it when somebody, like, comes at them.
You know, and I know we've talked about belief in God and all that. I do believe in God, and I do believe that the way that our bodies are designed was for a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, women tend to have softer bodies. Women tend to have softer bodies and are more nurturing, and that's the reason why we're the ones who give birth to children, and we nurture the children. The men are usually more strong.
Mm-hmm.
They're faster, stronger. Not always, but you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Our DNA is just different. The way we're built is different. And for a man to feel like that proves he's a man by beating on a woman, a tiny woman at that.
Yeah.
Like, I've just never been able to understand what kind of piece of crap it takes to be that kind of person, you know?
Yeah.
Just pure evil. But anyway, so that happened. She moved back in with us again, moved right back out, went back to him. Gosh, this was awful. The last time that it happened, at this point, my husband and I had moved to Lone Star, Texas.
Okay.
So we were living in Lone Star, and she ended up coming to my house in Lone Star. She told me what had happened. She told me that he had hurt her again and all these things, and I'm seeing bruises. You know, and I had started taking pictures and this and that, and she said, can I move back in with you? Listen, Jerry and I had already had a talk at this point. Brittany was in third grade. Sadie was three?
Yeah.
I want to say Sadie was 3 years old. But my kids were seeing a pattern.
Yeah, that's not healthy.
My kids were seeing a pattern of somebody showing up broken and bruised, or you could hardly even recognize them. And then seeing that person go right back into the same situation.
Yeah, that's not good.
And I told her, I said, Sharon, I can't. I can't do that. I can't keep letting my kids see you beaten by the same man over and over again, and you keep mm-hmm. going right back to it. And she said, I understand. She said, I'm not going back this time, but I do understand. And it's okay, you know, I'm not mad and all that. And she went to her dad's. I know she went to her dad's for sure that time. And, I mean, we got to have some good time together still during that time period. And I'm so, so thankful that we did have that, because that happened, I want to say maybe September or October.
Mm-hmm.
By December, she had moved back in with him.
Shit. Yeah.
The very last phone call that I ever received from her, it's a normal call. How you doing? What's been going on? And she asked me, because I've told you guys I'm a baker. I actually have had my own baking business. She'd asked me if I could bake some Christmas cookies for her to go to a work Christmas party. Let me tell you about Sharon. She was equally as bad of a driver as she was a cook. Okay. She had invited us to dinner one day and made spaghetti, and I thought this will be safe. Only it was not, because she made garlic toast with garlic salt.
Oh, shit.
I mean, she was definitely not a Betty Crocker, and Sharon did not bake.
Yeah, okay? Gotcha.
And I'm throwing that in there because there's a reason I'm saying that.
Yeah, you and I have talked about this, so,
She did not bake. She did not bake. But I had agreed, and I did. I baked Christmas cookies for her, and I want to say that was probably on maybe Friday night.
Yeah.
Could have been Saturday, but I want to say it was on Friday night she had asked me that, and I did. I baked Christmas cookies for her. Monday morning, I woke up about 7 o'clock in the morning, and my sister was calling me, and she said, Sharon's house burned down, and she's gone. She's gone. And I was like, no. I mean, I argued. I argued with her. And, I mean, I was so mad. I was mad at my sister for being the one to call me and tell me. Mm-hmm. You know, they say, don't kill the messenger. I mean, I was so angry. I called her dad. I called her dad, and I mean, as soon as he answered the phone, I said, it's not true. It's not true. And he said, yeah. That it did happen. You know where my first thought went?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And by the way, this didn't happen in the middle of the night. It happened during the early evening time. It was early evening. It wasn't late. I called the Sheriff's Department. It's Titus County Sheriff's Department. I'm saying the name.
Yep, do it.
And I asked them, I said, I don't understand why I did the right thing every time this happened. I called you guys every time, and y'all came and took a report every time. But because she refused to check the box to press charges, y'all never did anything.
That's crazy to me.
I was probably coming across very accusatory. I'm sure I was, but I mean, you know, when you're in grief.
For sure.
I was so angry, you know. I was angry at God. Mm-hmm. I was so angry at her husband.
Yeah.
I have always believed in my heart that he did something to her.
Yeah.
I have never, ever believed that this was an accident, you know. And I have to say, I'm going to go out on a limb and say this. If for some reason I'm wrong, he did a damn good job of making himself look guilty.
Yeah.
I've never met a person who knew her during that time period that did not believe that he did this to her.
Mm-hmm.
I've never. Well, I've been watching the officers, by the way. Including the officers.
Yeah, I've been watching, like, all the comments on Facebook of, like, you've posted, and then that, the press release of everything. So I've been, like, I'm like, there have been multiple people on there bring her up with what's going on right now. Like, you're not the only one that said something about it.
I just don't know how many people actually went to the Sheriff's Department.
Well, I can guarantee
this was outside
you.
Of city limits, so we didn't do the police. We had to use county Sheriff's Department.
Well, I can guarantee you the county is looking at all the Facebook stuff.
I really hope so.
I can guarantee you they are.
Well, I'm sorry. I have to have some beer.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know what? Open you a couple. Like, drink, double fist it.
So, when I asked about initially what they said was her cause of death, they said that there was evidence of, I guess, like soot in her lungs.
Mm-hmm.
So they believed that it was
smoke inhalation.
Smoke inhalation that had actually caused the actual death.
Mm.
And their original theory, and I don't know if it's because of something that the husband said, was because she was baking cookies and fell asleep.
She doesn't bake.
No. Listen, Sharon loved her coworkers enough that she would not have tortured them by baking cookies herself. I'm just going to throw it. I'm just throwing that out
there. And she had just asked you to make cookies.
I did make cookies for her. There's no way that was possible. Yeah. I do not believe it. Now, if you tell me, if somebody was to come and say, yes, there was a baking sheet in that oven, then I'm going to say her husband was doing something then. Because, like, I'm telling you, like, She was a pro at microwaving burritos. But, I mean, and I know she did feed her kids, but they, I'm telling you, like, I know, she lived with me. She ate food when I cooked. She never cooked.
Yeah.
If she was in charge of dinner, it was fast food.
Yeah.
Like, she did not cook. She was not a cook. Was not. She did sometimes. I know that I'm not saying that it's not possible, but why would she be baking cookies when the very last conversation we had, she was asking me to bake cookies for her?
And that was a day or so ahead of time?
Yeah, it was on either Friday or Saturday, and she passed away on a Sunday.
Yeah, and her party was probably Monday?
It was a Christmas Eve party, I wanted to say, so I can't remember exactly the day the party was. I don't remember, but it was the week of Christmas. This was on the week of Christmas.
If I had my phone in here, I'd look, but I left my phone on the charger because it was dead.
Yeah. So, anyways, that happened, and I never believed that there was anything accidental to it. If they told me that she had alcohol in her system or something like that, I would believe that because she did drink.
Yeah.
She probably had to drink to cope with all this crap.
Sorry.
Well, we ended up being called by the sheriff's department. They probably did not appreciate me asking them why they never did anything. You know? But they ended up contacting me and asked me to come down to the department and to give a written statement. And then they asked me to bring those slips of paper with me. Listen, I was a stupid little 24-year-old. Yeah. I was 24 years old. She was 26 when she passed, by the way.
Yeah.
I was 24 years old. I had no experience with anything like this. I'd never been in trouble with the law. I didn't know anything about how all this stuff works. They asked me to come down there, and I thought I was helping her. Yeah. So I went, and I did my little written statement, and I handed over those little slips to them where they had handed that to her after she checked that little box refusing to press charges. And it took me years to really question that. Why did they need me to bring those to them?
They had their original copies.
They had that. They had it. That was the exact department that was called every single time. Why did they need that? I don't know. I'm very upset about that because I feel like that took evidence out of my hands that I could have said, this right here is a fact.
Yeah.
This is a fact right here. But it has to be on record in that county. It has to be too many different times they were called.
I think police work in the 90s was a different thing than it is now. And I think that was kind of just the norm in the 90s.
I never felt like they weren't doing their job. And they were honest with me. Or at least I felt like they were. I could have been naive, but I never did understand why they took those slips from me. But I will say this. They did tell me, the officer that I spoke with told me that they did believe that he had something to do with her death, but they could not prove anything. Every bit of evidence against him at this point, everything was circumstantial evidence.
Circumstantial.
No DA would touch that because if they would have took it to court.
Hearsay.
Right. If he got off, double jeopardy. If something come up later, they could never retry him. Mm-hmm. So they did not. And so anyway, all these years rock and roll.
I got another beer.
Yes. So let's go to Monday morning.
Yeah. So this is Monday morning. And then this is where you send me the text message that just kind of changed everything.
So I was babysitting, I hate to call it babysitting. I was having the time of my life with my granddaughter.
Yes.
My daughter and son-in-law had went to Houston to a concert, stayed overnight.
Nope, my kids also went to a concert in Houston, but it was not the same.
Okay. So they went on Sunday night.
Oh, yeah. My kids went on Wednesday.
Okay. So, was that right? Yeah, it was Sunday. So, anyway, my husband just randomly decided that he was going to come help me because I had a flat tire.
Mm-hmm.
I had a plug in a tire, and the plug just quit plugging, I guess.
Fun.
He ended up coming to Hallsville to help me. And so, he was there with Jade and I, and then Brittany and Sean came home. And so we're all at the house at this point. Everybody's there. I had went to the bathroom, and all of a sudden I heard my husband yelling. I'm saying a name here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He said, Mike Allen is going to jail this time, and he is not getting out of it this time.
Score.
I said, what? I mean, I'm in the bathroom, so I'm trying to hurry up and get out of there. I did not wash my hands, by the way. I'm running out of the bathroom, and my daughter is just screaming, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. And so I just was begging them, please let me see what you're talking about. Please let me see, because they were holding my husband's phone. So she handed the phone to me, and here is this news article where he has been arrested because... I got to make sure I'm saying the words correctly here legally.
Yeah.
He is being charged with the murder of his current wife.
Damn it.
I don't know exactly how many years those two were married,
mm-hmm.
but 20-something.
Wow.
Now, listen, it's been 27 years, almost 28, since Christmas Eve that I had to bury my best friend. Mm. Christmas Eve. Her funeral was on Christmas Eve. You don't get over this stuff.
No. Mm-mm.
You know, so all... So this man is currently sitting in jail. His bond has been set at $1 million. I don't know the evidence that they have against him this time. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I don't know the circumstances, but ever since that, and by the way, I did comment on that news release, and I ended up having to go back and
edit it.
What I said, because I'd be dang if I'm going to get sued for defamation of character.
Slander,
yeah. Whatever. But, because I had originally said he murdered his first wife. He murdered
my
best friend.
Well, there was a bunch of people that went on there and said far worse than that.
Yeah,
so.
This isn't the first time and all this. So, okay, my heart, I'm having such a mix of emotions.
Yeah.
Like, such a mix of, I mean, it was almost like bringing it, all that grief,
all back to the
over
surface.
Again.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, I've lost people. You know, I've lost my parents. This past year, I lost two of my really, really close best friends. And my sister, you know, I've had loss. But when you have a tragic loss like this, when somebody is 26 years old and they are abused and you love them so much and you're wanting the best for them so much, and then their life is taken, like, it is just damaging. You know, during that time period after she passed, like, I completely cut myself off. I didn't have friends. I stayed within my home. I hermit. I still do that when I'm going through bad stuff. I stayed in my house, and I took care of my kids, and I grieved. You know, I just grieved.
Yeah.
I did end up, that last time I had went to Key West was with my parents because my mother insisted that I get out of the house because I was just in so much grief.
Yeah.
So as I'm reading all the comments that people are saying, all of a sudden people are saying things that lead me to believe that the evidence is not all circumstantial.
Yeah.
So I'm getting hope in my heart that maybe they'll reopen this case. I called the sheriff's department again.
Mm-hmm.
I called them on Monday. As soon as I read this article, I called them and I said who I was, who Sharon was, and I said she passed away. It was December the 21st, 1997, and I have never believed that was accidental.
Yeah.
I said, you guys even contacted me and asked me to come and give a written statement. I did. I said, you guys have record of all the times that I called you because of the abuse that was going on. Domestic violence was rampant.
Yeah.
I mean, he did this so many times, I can't even remember. I'm not even going to try to pull a number off the top of my head. And you know what's crazy looking back on it is that I thought that it was a really long period of time.
Mm-mm.
But it wasn't.
No, you said like 92 to 97.
No, it would have. It would have. Yeah. Well, I want to say they met around 94.
Okay. 94 to 97?
It was either 94 or 95, and she passed in 97. So, honestly, that was not...
No, that's 3-4 years.
It was not a long time.
Like, 3-4 years tops.
Yeah.
That's a lot of abuse to happen in a very short amount of time.
Yeah. So, yesterday... Well, anyway, the police lady that I talked to, she was one of the investigators. And she told me that she would look into it. And I really, truly believed that she would.
Yeah, you said that she didn't even know he had a first wife or something.
Yeah, there's a lot of... Now, you do have to remember that this was less than 24 hours after it happened.
Oh, yeah.
The news story broke and it hadn't even been 24 hours. And I was calling them as soon as I read it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, honestly, how many people did know about it, because there was a lot of people that started reaching out to me because of what I had said, the post that I had made on that little...
The news thing, yeah.
And they started saying, I had no idea, I didn't even know anything about another wife. They didn't even know she existed. And it broke my heart, because I was like, where do you think their son came from? Sharon was his mother.
Mm-hmm.
You like it? It just
so he had custody of the son this whole time.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yes, because the mother was gone and he was the father, and he never went to jail for anything. So by golly, I mean, hey.
Jesus.
I cannot imagine the fresh hell that other woman lived through, because I know for that short period of time that Sharon was with him, I know how bad it was, and she was with him for over 20 years.
Mm-mm. That's wild.
I do know this. He shot her. That is how she died. He shot her. He confessed, was what I was told.
Well, if that doesn't show a pattern of abuse.
I really wish he would confess what he did to Sharon.
Yeah.
Even if he never even... confessed to starting that fire, or if he never said, hey, you know, I did something to incapacitate her so that she couldn't get out, he could at least confess to all that violence he gave her.
Yeah.
He could have told her daughter how sorry he was for what he did to her mother, because she witnessed it.
Yeah.
You know, even at her funeral, he didn't even look like he was grieving. He looked like he was expecting people to, like, I don't know. Man, I don't know. It was just weird. It was just weird. He has these dead eyes.
And I saw the picture that of him that was like on that news article, and I was like, you know when people have crazy eyes? He's got the crazy eyes.
He doesn't look like that. He had
in that picture, he had the, like, Charles Manson crazy eyes.
Oh, somebody even commented on there and said, it wasn't on that article, it was on the KLTV news article. Somebody had said, I didn't know Charles Manson had a younger brother.
Yeah.
And then somebody else commented, don't put down Charles Manson like that.
Yeah, he just looks unhinged. And
he is unhinged. When he goes on these rages, he's unhinged. He's a drunk. Okay, yeah. He's allegedly a drunk. I've been around for that. He drank a lot and he was violent.
I haven't been in that severe of a situation. I've been in relationships when I was much younger that were abusive and got smacked around and stuff like that. And I did go back multiple times, but when I got ready to walk away, I did. And that does take a lot of strength that some people can't muster.
Yeah, I don't know the lady that just recently passed. Her name was Amy.
Yeah.
I don't know her story. I did not know her. She looks so familiar to me just from the pictures. I kind of wonder if she's ever been my customer at
Maybe.
Dickie Hut. There are a lot of people that's reached out to me and told me different things about Sharon that they remember. And one of them was a lady. Oh, she's so beautiful, by the way. Her name is Amy. I already had met her previously. Like, when she's conversing with me through Messenger, I didn't see her face, but she sent me a friend request, and I went to her profile and saw her picture, and I was like, oh my gosh, I know her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she grew up next door to Sharon, and she also said that she remembered that she was abused. She remembered Sharon going to her dad's because she had been beaten up and all these things. You know, she went to work even with black eyes and stuff. People at her job knew what was happening. She worked for the Daily Tribune, the newspaper. They knew what was happening. And one of her former coworkers also had commented that she worked with her and that they always believed that he did it. That he's the one that did that to her. So many people have always believed that. But the problem is, it did not happen in front of one of us that were willing to go forward and testify. Yeah. And so
the stuff that
secondhand information just didn't do any good.
Yeah, it's the stuff that happens behind, like, closed doors. And if you're not a firsthand witness, like, it's hard to, you can't prove it happened. And it's so messed up for the people.
I know that there's not a statute of limitations when it comes to murder.
Yeah, there's no statute of limitations on murder.
But I don't know. I'm not really sure about the domestic violence stuff.
Well, I don't. There is a statute of limitations on a lot of things. But I know for sure that there's not on murder. And so, I think if enough people come forward and say, I know this, I saw the bruises, she told me this, even though it's circumstantial, it's still evidence, and it's a lot of it, and this second wife is a pattern of behavior.
Well, I do have something to tell you. I don't remember if I've told you this or not, but last night, I ended up contacting one of the people that had been making comments and saying, basically, that he saw some stuff firsthand.
Mm-hmm.
I spoke with him personally. He is 100% willing to come forward and to testify. But will the Sheriff's Department reopen her case? That's the question. Mm. But he said these words. Now, listen. Alleged.
Allegedly, yes.
Okay. He said these words that he was told personally. He told me. This man told me personally that Mike Allen personally told him and the other co-workers, they used to hang out together. These are guys that used to all work together, that he could commit the perfect murder and get away with it.
Jesus Christ. That's fucked up.
He also confessed to me last night that he was in the car on that particular day that she got drug out and was on the side of the road. And I did find out why she was naked. I found out last night. This is 27 years later. 28 years later. 29 years later. I mean, when that happened, probably 29 years ago.
Yeah.
So what had happened, Mike was in the casino and would not leave. He was drunk. So Sharon and this guy went outside, were waiting. They were outside smoking a cigarette. It started raining. She was soaking wet. By the time Mike finally came out, I guess he was cashing out or whatever, she was soaking wet. So he worked at Pilgrim's Pride back then.
Yeah.
And they used to wear these, like, they were like a cotton smock over your clothing.
Mm-hmm.
It protects the food from being contaminated.
Yeah.
He had cotton smocks inside of his car. So she took her wet clothes off and put that smock on.
Mm-hmm.
So the man I talked to last night told me he's not sure exactly what happened that caused him to pull the car over, but he thinks that that's what tipped him over the edge was because she put that smock on. I mean, it's just crazy petty stuff, like controlling, you know? And that he jerked her out of the car, choked her, left her in that ditch, and drove off. I don't know all the circumstances. I don't know why the man was still in the car, why he didn't get out and stop it. I don't know. Listen, I'm not going to lay blame because I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think at this juncture we can lay blame, but, like, on one hand, that's a scary fucking situation. Yeah. And between Jefferson and Marshall is in the middle of fucking nowhere.
No, it's dark.
It's dark roads. It's curvy roads.
And this would have been the middle of the night.
And
because they were
in
late.
The middle of the night, yeah. And so he's like, he's probably sitting there going, do I get out of the car and risk getting left in the middle of nowhere? Do I keep my mouth shut? I'm drunk and high, like, or whatever the circumstance, like. I'm not excusing his inaction, but also.
Well, he told me that he said, Mike, why did you do that? Go back and get her. Why are you leaving her there? And he said, I'm just doing what feels. What did he say? He said, I'm doing what it. Something about his nature. No, not his nature. What did he say? He said, I'm doing what my instinct is telling me. That's what he said. I'm doing what my instinct tells
Sir,
me.
Your instinct is entirely fucked up. What is wrong with you? The
Holy
fuck?
Shit. Somebody witnessed it.
Yeah.
So, am I happy that it happened? Hell no. But somebody witnessed it.
And they're willing to go forward.
Yes. He said he is willing to go. So where we go from here, I'm not sure. I've been asking everybody who prays, if you are a praying person, pray for justice, not only for Sharon, but also for Amy.
Yeah.
Because she did not deserve what happened to her.
No, absolutely not.
And their son did not deserve to lose two mothers, because that is the woman who raised him because Sharon was not there.
Shit, that's awful.
Her daughter, like,
you talk to her, yeah.
Yeah, you don't heal from this.
No.
It stays with you. You know, and she's an adult now, and she's asking questions, and, I mean.
Yeah, well.
I don't want this to mess her up, but I know she feels in her heart that need for justice for her mother.
Yeah.
But I'm just praying that whatever needs to take place, I don't know, but I am praying that it happens, and that's all I'm going to say about that. But I don't know how far this podcast is going to go.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people are going to listen to this, but if you knew Sharon McGill Allen back in the 1990s and you witnessed any of this, please be honest.
Absolutely.
Come
and
forward.
I'll put that in the show notes also of please come forward. And we had looked up a while ago, we had looked up the national domestic hotline. I want to make sure that we share that because it's a national number that you can call, and I'm going to make sure I put it in the show notes too. So
it's 1-800-799-7233. They are open 24 hours a day. They speak both English and Spanish. If you are in a situation where you cannot call, but you could text, they have a number that you can text. You text the number 88788. Text the word begin to 88788.
And, you know, I've seen on TikTok, like, I get on the 911 calls side of TikTok every now and then because my Chinese spy knows what I like. And I'll get, like, 911 calls that are women that are in a situation where they can't say what's going on.
Right.
And so they'll, like, pretend to order a pizza. Or there was one example of a woman that acted like she was calling her kids school and was like, hey, I need to know if I need to bring in this certain paperwork. And the 911 operator was like, you do realize you've called 911. And she goes, oh, yes, I do. I do know that. But do I need to bring in this one piece of paperwork? And so the 911 operator was like, oh, are you in a situation where you can't speak freely? And she was like, yes, that's true. I'm like, people are willing to help you if you're willing to accept the help. And that's, it's really sad when people are in situations where they're being abused. They know they're being abused, but they can't break the cycle.
No, because they have been so manipulated to believe that they have no value, that they're the problem.
Yeah, yeah, and it's sad, and, but...
My heart is so broken. Yeah. I know. Just, you know, I got to speak to a couple of people that were Amy's friends.
And her sister's here local, too, yeah.
Her sister reached out to me. There's been several cousins there was one that was married to one of the cousins that's reached out to me, and I don't in any way mean for this to be overshadowing anything about Amy.
Right. We're trying to get a story out.
I want Amy to have justice that she deserves. But I don't want Sharon to be forgotten, and I just feel like she's been shoved to the wayside.
Yeah.
And it's not right, and I refuse, you know, I'm stubborn.
Yeah.
I refuse. I have never let this go. I've told you about this story as soon as we started talking to each other and becoming friends.
You told me this story... Before we even started the podcast, I knew this story. Like, when you came to help with homecoming, we were just sitting around gluing and stapling mums together. And you just talking about stuff and life. And so, I think you told me the story then, before we even started the podcast. So, this is a story that I've known about, you know, for a little while. But, yeah, it's... I hope that there's justice for Amy. I hope that they will reopen an investigation into Sharon. And I hope he goes away for the rest of his life.
I hope that he... Listen, I hope he gets the life that he deserves.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know how else to say that. I mean, you know, don't think that I haven't had those thoughts run through my head, too. Like, I have, you know, I don't believe that it's helpful to you or good for your health to hold hatred in your heart to anybody.
Yeah.
It's not, but I have struggled with this my whole entire life, my adult life, it seems. My own children have struggled with this because they loved her so much. You know, Brittany was, 8 years old? 9. She was 9. She just turned 9 when this happened. She's never forgot her Aunt Sharon. You know, her picture is still in my house. It's still right out in the open. I have this ugly little fat baby cherub angel that, even though I don't collect little fat chubby baby angels, that she gave it to me one year for Christmas, and so I kept it, and I can't get rid of it, and it's still sitting there right in the open. Like, I've never forgot about her.
There's your man.
I know. I'm going to call him back. He always loves to call during the podcast.
Oh, no. He does do that. Well, I'm going to put all the domestic violence hotline information in show notes. And make sure that we spread awareness. Maybe we can find a charity or something to...
And, you know, absolutely, that would be amazing. I was going to, I'm sorry I'm backtracking just a second, but I did say that if you're a praying person, to pray for justice for both of the women, but please also keep these kids in your prayers. Yeah. Because, I mean, she had children. Amy did. Yeah. And Sharon's children, like...
I'm going to say, too, for all the people that don't pray, you can send a good vibe into the universe. Because I'm not a praying person. But I am happy to send a good vibe into the universe. Like,
we'll
I feel like...
all the good vibes.
Like, I feel like if you say things out loud and you put it into the universe, like, just a thought, like, I don't like it when people say, oh, my thoughts are with you, because your thoughts are not putting anything into the universe. You have to speak it out loud, and you have to say, I wish for justice for these two women. Say it out loud, put it into the universe. I mean, I'm not a praying person, but I will do that, and I'll put it in the universe for there to be justice for your friend and also Amy.
I appreciate that so much.
Yeah, and I have noticed I've noticed a difference in my life. When you say things out loud and you put it in the universe, it helps. You just put it out. And so, and it's probably the same thing as praying. I just, you know, one day we'll delve into my fucking trauma.
Side note, I did message Lacey today, and Lacey. I messaged Lacey today and asked if she knew if her mom was going to be available anytime soon for a reading.
Oh, yeah. Okay, good. And I talked to Rachel, my new girl, and she's happy to be a guest anytime. So, but yeah, I think those both be great guest episodes. And
I want to do soon with Miss Kay again, because there's a whole lot of information that I'm like at where I'm at right now.
Yeah, you need to get with Miss Kay. Well, I've thought about just calling her, just making an appointment.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we'll have some guest episodes. We used up our bank of episodes we had recorded ahead while we were both on vacation. So we're kind of like, this is all like real time now. So, but okay, we have to say something happy.
Mike Allen is in jail.
Mike Allen is in jail. That's going to be my happy thing, too. Because I know how much all of that has affected you. And, like, we haven't even known each other that long. But I have seen how this has affected you. And so, yeah, Mike Allen's in jail.
I hate it for the family. I mean, listen, for their son, because of the fact that he's just lost his mom, and his dad.
Yeah.
You know, but that's where he needs to be.
Absolutely, I agree with you.
Yep.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
Well, I think we're going to wrap up for today. I think both of us are just tired out. Send us your stories. Send us, if you've gotten out of a domestic violence situation, send it to us. We're happy to tell those stories, and
I would love to tell some happy stories about
let's
that.
Let's send us a happy story of how you got out of a really shit situation. There's so much bad shitty in the world. Send us some good shit. Just send us something happy.
You can email us. We're a little bit dead at gmail.com.
It's WERELLBITDEAD.
Did you have to think about that?
I did have to think about it. WERELLBITDEAD at gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook.
You can send us messages through Messenger. You can also... I know Spotify allows you to leave comments on episodes.
Yeah. And if you haven't, like, rate, subscribe. I know our podcast is a little bit different than really any other podcast I've ever listened to, and we're just kind of doing our own thing. But we just want to help people
and bring
awareness and be real. Yeah. So, this is us being our authentic selves and building a relationship. And I love you so much. And I'm happy that you shared your story about your friend, and I hope the story gets some traction.
I hope so.
And so I think that's it for tonight, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
All right, bye.
Bye.